You on? No, okay. Zakti Mishnah. We are a member of Amid Beis, the second Mishnah. Hamaycher has asked him if his bonav led the kachavim, if somebody sells himself or his children to Goyim, ain't paidin our son. We don't redeem them. The Gemara will explain this. But after the father dies, we do redeem the kids. Rashi, and paid them over Rago Bakach. He's talking about that does this as a general, he does it a lot of times. Because the Muki Begemara, Bushimachar, Vishana, Vishilish. He did this three times. We can't waste Tzibur's money on this guy's behavior pattern. We don't want a guy to be owned by a guy. But we also don't want a guy doing it so he can get the Tzibur to pay him money, more money, more money, more money. These people from the city of Michsi, the Yasri Zuzi Maiv de Kachavim, they used to borrow money from Goyim, but the Havavuva Mefrenu, and they didn't have money to pay back, also with Gagarbaluhu. So they came and they took them as slaves for the debt. Also the Kamad Ravuna, they came to Ravuna, can you help us? Amaluhu. So Ravuna said, my Avaluhu, what can I do for you? The Tanan the Mishnah says, and borrowing money from a guy and not paying back is like selling yourself to a guy. Rabbi said to Ravuna, Lumatena, Rabbeinu, didn't you teach us? Is only if you did it three times. Yes, these people do it all the time. This is not their first time. They've been doing this, and therefore I can't redeem them. Welcome. They captured them for slaves. There was a person who sold himself, the Ludoi, Rashi learns, to cannibals. He sold himself to a nation that are cannibals. Rashi, Uma Sha'echlim B'nei Adam, a nation that kills, that eats people. That's what he sold himself to. There is another pshat. I forgot already who said it. There's another pshat, slipped my mind, in what Luludoi is. Not necessarily cannibals. I wonder if it was the Rambam and Perash Mishnayos. Let me take a look quickly. No, I don't see that. Somebody said it on the Pshat Luludoi, it slipped my mind. Anyway, Rashi learned it's cannibals. Also, the Kavod Rabami. He came to Rabami and he said, listen, I'm up the creek. They're going to eat me. Amalei Pirkan, can you redeem me? Amalei, so he told him, So Amar Avahim, he said out loud, thought out loud, somebody who does this on a frequent basis, which obviously this person had done it, we don't redeem him. I will pay them as abundant, black and mises abim, but we do redeem the children, shim kukula, because we don't want them becoming gayim, right? Why do we redeem the children, even though the father has done this a number of times, but after he dies, we redeem them because we don't want them staying by gayim. So, kochkin hachadik iktala. So, even though the rule is we don't redeem a person multiple times, and this person has done this multiple times, but the bottom line is they're going to kill him. And when it comes to misa, that's a different level thing. We don't redeem him from being a slave after certain times. But they're going to eat him. Kuch nefesh. Amulei, Rabbanan Rabami. Hi. But if we're worried about the kids, maybe being...
You say the kid didn't do anything. Or, you know, kids got there for... Well, that's clearly worried about the kid. Nothing to do with the... whatever the father did.
Again. Saving lives is the most important thing we can do. So if we redeem kids, even though they were sold three times...
Maybe it's because they're kids and they didn't do it. This guy sold himself. So you sell yourself, and maybe it doesn't apply.
Right, so your kasha is asked. It is asked. And the Mefarshim bring a riot from your kasha that the reason is because we don't want to make the tzibur impoverished. And the bottom line is, we're impoverishing the tzibur if we go redeem these kids. Parrot says, at certain points you make the tzibur impoverished. So if you do that for the kids, right, because they didn't do anything wrong, but we're impoverishing the tzibur. We've done this three times already. Or twice. This is the third time. Yet we do it because even though it's impoverishing the tzibur, I think the Lashon of Rambam and Perashat Mishnayos is I've got to read it. Lashon wanted to reshine them. Is that we can't impoverish the tzibur. We did it already. So it says, when the kids are going might get, see, take a look at Rashi. We redeem the kids because of Mishum Kulush. We don't want them to learn the guys' ways of behavior. Aye, what happens in their father's lifetime? As long as the father's alive, he'll keep them from becoming Goyim. But once he dies, we have a concern here. They might become Goyim.
Will he have shlita over them in the jail?
Not in jail. This is not talking about this guy. I'm talking about a guy that's a slave. He sold himself or his kids into slavery.
And to the Goyim, right?
Yeah, but he might. He still has shlita in them.
They
talk to
them.
To a certain extent, he still has shlita in them. Because he's not going to get Kitzala. Amalei Rabbanu L'Rabami. How you saw Mumroi. This guy is a Mummer. He does have Averus. The Kachachi laid the Kachum the Vedas the Trefus. This is not a from Jew. Amalahu, Amalati Avenu the Kachum. He's not doing it lahakas. He's doing it because he's hungry. And there's no kosher meat around. He eats Nevela. He's a glutton for meat. It's not like he's out to rebel against the Torah. He just gets carried away with his taiva. So there's a machlokes rishayim. Is it Ravami saying, therefore I'm obligated to redeem him? Or as Ravami said, therefore I'm allowed to redeem him. So machlokes rishayim is one mechuyev to redeem a mumer l'tayavin. A guy who does averus, but not because he's out to rebel against the Torah. He just can't resist his yetzahara. He has this unbelievable yetzahara and he does averus. Is there a chiyuv to redeem him? Ravami is clearly saying you're allowed to redeem him. But is he obligated or not? Is machlokes rishayim. So they told him. Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I interrupted too soon. I'm sorry.
It's okay. What's the question?
The question was whether Rav Ami has now changed the rule, modified the rules, the three-time rule, so that now whenever the captive's life is actually in imminent threat, they can redeem him even if it's the fourth.
He changed the rule. And that's the halacha l'maisa, that even if they did it three times or the guy's in danger of getting killed, we won't redeem him anyway. We try to save the tzibur money. We don't want people milking the tzibur, but again, we also don't want people dying. That is not law.
Is there an obligation, even if this person's just a fool and he knows he's bankrupting the community, is there now an obligation to still save his life?
Again, if it's to save a life, it seems that yes.
Okay.
But then again, you know, they talk about it. I'm not passing a local advisor about getting a guy out of prison. Is prison considered sakonis nefashis? It seems that the consensus is not. Even though people say being in prison is rather dangerous, I guess it depends where the prison is. You know, people do survive prison by and large. And not schmuck, not good. Again, we're talking about a guy that, you know, what do we do? I'm not passing a law on my, I'm just bringing that up. Amrulai, so they told him, this guy's not a mumer l'tayavin. Sometimes he has an opportunity to buy kosher meat and treif meat, and he buys the treif meat. Not because he's saving money either. That means this guy doesn't care about the Torah. He has no feeling for keeping mitzvahs. That's called a mumer l'hachas. Amrulai, so Ravami told the person, zil, l'kashav kili l'afrakinach. I'm not allowed to redeem a mumer l'hachas. You're a mumer. You rebel against the Torah. The rules of redeeming you are gone. But shavkili, they're not letting me. Meaning, it's usher. Rashi. Don't you, Rashi? L'te'avonu, the aim of l'te'avonu, the gachavu, l'havi min el mumer. Maminin hazar minam, maridin av le'malam. Minim, we say, that if you have a chance to help them die, we do that. We don't try to save their lives. Ava mumar, I mean, some of them become mumar. It says over there by mumar, you do save him. But Ochli Surah, Edom Eidu all of Cain. Rashi is saying, Edom told us. Now somebody who eats the velus lahachas is a mum, is like a min. He's rebelling against the Torah. Doesn't care about the Torah. To him, the Torah is worthless. Chas v'sham, rachman al-Islam. But that's what he's, therefore, there's no, you're not allowed to redeem him. Tinnik Shinishma
might be different.
Tinnik Shinishma is not a mumma. He doesn't know. 100% Tinnik Shinishma is different. Dr. Gemara writes, there is Shlokhi Zav and Navshul Ludoi. Now, according to Tysus, this happened before Rish Lakish became an Amira. Rish Lakish was once upon a time a Ganav. He once upon a time was a Ganav. And at the time he was a Ganav, he did the following story. As an Amira, Tysus says, he would never have done this. But he was a Ganav, and he tried, he was going to teach those cannibals a lesson. So he sold himself to the cannibals. Now, there are Achronim that want to argue it. They want to say a different shot than Tysus. But Tysus is a Rishi. And Tysus says he would never do it as a Mamaira. There is an Achron, the Trash Yaakov, the Chash of Achron. He says that Rish Lakish did this because he wanted to teach the cannibals a lesson. So even in his Mamaira, he did this. We're going to see the story. Rish Lakish taught them a lesson. He obviously survived, right? And he taught them a lesson. So Tysus wants to say he would have never done this as an Mamaira. It must have been prior to his becoming an Amira. Whereas, thank you very much. Whereas, there are Achronim that want to say he did it as an Amira. We'll learn like Tyson. It makes no difference in the story. The story is the story anyway. Shaku Badei Chai Sivagogolta. He took along with him when they took him into captivity. He took along with him a sack, and in it was a round stone. Either made, he said, either stone or lead. Whatever it was, something heavy was in the sack. Now, the reason he did this is they didn't see that he brought along a stone. They would have never let him. But he brought a sack. So they thought he had something, you know, some personal items in his sack. They didn't check it. Didn't go through TSA. When he came to the captivity, they did not go through TSA. They saw him come with a sack. They let him come with a sack. Amar, Rish Lakish said, Gemiri, we know, the Yom Abastra called the boy Minayu Avdalay. On the last day before they eat him, they let him ask for any, his last request. The Goyim are big on handing a guy his last request. Why? Keichat Aleichel Adami. He should be Michael. By us treating him nicely, he becomes like Michael that we're going to eat him. Like he gives, you know, certain, I don't know exactly why a guy would be Michael, but he's like, you know, Michael the fact, Rashi says, Sheyimchol Adama. He's Michael on the fact that they're going to kill him. By treating him nicely the last day and fulfilling all his requests, he's Michael the fact that they're going to kill him. The Aruch learns that his blood should be sweeter. You eat good meals, your blood's sweeter. And therefore they wanted to eat sweet blood. Cannibals. And therefore, they gave him to food. They said, you know, let him ask whatever he wants. He'll, as he gets what he wants, his blood is sweeter. Okay. Yom Abasra Amalei. So they came and they told Rish Lakish, okay, this is your last day. My Nichaloch, what do you want to do? Amalu Bainakim Tumichu, I would like to tie you up. Vaisvinchu and put you down. The Chodchad Minaychu Amchia Chaisu Palga. I want to hit each one of you one single, you know, I have a sack. With the sack, I want to hit you 1.5 times apiece. Not 100% sure what a half a time is. Not sure how you hit a guy a half a time. I guess it means to say one time with full strength, one time with not full strength. So they said, fine. Continue, we tied them up. And he sat them down. And he had this big rock, this strong rock in his sack, which they were unaware of. When he hit them one hit, their neshama flew out. Meaning, I don't think they actually died, but I think they were in a state of shock. They just got, like, busted over the head. What does he translate Navik Neshama say? What? Senseless. Yeah, but it seems that they were still conscious. They started gritting their teeth. What, you're laughing at me? I can still hit you another half a time. Katlinu kulu, we hit them all and killed them all. Period. Navak Asa Yasiv, period. This is a new story. Navak Vasa. Now, this is the story with Rishlakish. He wanted to kill the cannibals, so he came up with this mechanism to kill the cannibals. So as Tyson says, before his Amira days, he was able to outwit the cannibals and kill them instead of them eating him. Rashi, this is a public service. Rashi, Chai Sivagogilta, Sak Kosher, a tied sack, Upkia, I don't know what Pkia means, the eagle shall even. I don't know what the word Pkia means. Means a round stone, maybe means a heavy round stone. I shall a Ferris Betaychai. The Ayim and Basra Kishar organized in Lech Ladam and Shimchul Adamai. A Kmitu by Svinchu, Lichshar Eschem and Lashivchem, I will tie you and sit you down. Chai so Pauga, Klem and Makam and Chachi Makam. Yeah, okay. Now, the next story is a new story. Now, according to many Paiskim, many Mepharshim, the next story happened later on in his life. Yasiv Kaachol Bashasi. He was sitting, laying, and eating and drinking. This is how Rashi says he used to eat whatever money he made, he spent. There was no savings account. Amale Brate, so his daughter said, why are you spending it on food? Why don't you buy yourself a pillow or a mattress to lay on? You're laying on the floor. Amalah biti crazy curry. My stomach, he was heavy. That's my cover, that's my pillow. I don't need any more than that. Tinoch Navshe, when he died, Shavak Kaba de Marika. He left over a jar of karkum is saffron. Kara Navshe Vazul Achem Chelam. He was lamenting that he was leaving over money for somebody else. Leaving, the Pasuk says, they leave their wealth to other people. Meaning, there was no reason for him to leave a Yerusha for anybody else. That's what he felt. No reason to leave for his kids. They can, you know, there's no, and he didn't want to earn any more than he needed. He earned what he needed and he used it up. That's all. He didn't waste money. He didn't make more money than he needed. And at the end of his life, he had something extra. So he felt bad that he left something extra. Rashi.
Giving it over to the kids.
Now, Rashi says it was normal for them to sleep on their stomach. There's a big shayla because the Gemara in Bracha says you're not allowed to sleep on your back or in your stomach, according to some Rishayim. So they say that the Gemara says there, a heavy person is different. Let me just do Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Yasin Kalka Bashansi Koyam of Komashayim Mistakulay Mitzamsin Latzili Amachar. No savings account. The Mizgalay? Karek Sas Lishinolam. Crazy Bikuri, Bitni Vishuma Shibamei, Huli Karek Sas. My stomach and my intestines is my pillow and cover and my blanket and mattress. Marika, Karkam, Saffron. Now, the way the Mepharshim learned this is he had unbelievable betachin. Right? The people that ate man also didn't have anything put away for the next day. A person has to be able to live that way. Can't fake the Rabbinic level. But a person who lives in total betachin, I earn today what I need today. I don't worry about tomorrow. I earn tomorrow what I need tomorrow.
That's right, we do it.
If a person's living in that madriga, it's the right way to do it.
What if his kids aren't?
What?
What if his kids aren't?
He felt his job is to earn enough for him to live on. Obviously, he didn't need to support his kids. They were adults already. Let them earn their own living. It's not my job to make money to leave over. No. Where does it say that? Now, there is a kash on this from a medrash that says that when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you should plant trees. The medrash says, so you give the story of the person that planted a buxer tree, and the king asked him, why are you planting this buxer tree? And he said, I'm leaving it over for my grandchildren. So the medrash seems to laud the fact that people plant trees and do things for future generations. What happened to this? So again, I think the pshat is that's Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be inhabited by Yidden, and it's a job of previous generations to prepare Eretz Yisrael for future generations. But it's not because of Yerusha that I have to leave over something. It's because it's my job to prepare Eretz Yisrael for the future generations, and the future generations will be my kids.
Oh,
but I don't know. I didn't see anybody else give another answer. That's the way I understood it. This is my notes some years ago. I was writing my sefer, and I'm just sort of guessing.
Giving your kids the opportunity to have a better life.
Did anybody say it's wrong? Rish Lakish lived day to day. He didn't fake this. You can't fake this. In the Midbar, you should know this in your Chumash Sefer. In the Midbar, they went to sleep at night. No one had a morsel of food. None. Finished. The cupboards were empty. But that was the Madrega Betacha that was necessary. That's what Hashem wants of people. It's not me, it's the Chaybis Havavah says it. Hashem wants people to live in total trust of Him. But you can't fool the Rabbi Shlomo. Don't live it when you don't believe it. But a person that's in a high Madrega will not earn on Thursday more than he needs for Thursday. Maybe for Shabbos, but not for anything else. And on Friday for Friday, and on Sunday for Sunday, and on Monday for Monday. There's the same Rabbi Shlomo. He's not going to let me starve. Unfortunately, I'm talking for myself, I'm not on the Madrega. I look at night to see whether I'm going to have breakfast. I don't, but I assume that I have something for breakfast. Rish Lakish lived on that Madrega B'tachin. I work for myself just to earn a living. Why am I leaving over somebody else? What am I worried about? This is Rabbi Nishvelim. He took care of me, he'll take care of them. It's my achrayah to take care of...
Yes.
Why?
Do
me a favor, write me a $1,000 check. It's your outcome. What do you get? Your buddies don't take care of me, he takes care of you, he takes care of Dr. Harris. What is it? Adult children, can you please explain that to me?
It's not always easy for them.
It's not always easy. Again, it's the same Rabbeinu Shlomo crying out loud.
I understand that, but the kids aren't on the bus right
now. So then, listen, it's not, again. The father lives his own Madrega. The Rabbi Shlomo will take care of his kids. The Chavos HaBavos says this, not me. I'm not holding on this Madrega. You know, I must have said this 25 times in the last years. I asked him at the show, if I give a shiur, and people ask me questions, and I'm talking about Madrega that I'm not holding of, am I allowed to do that? Can I talk about a Madrega that I've mentioned? So he told me that if while you're saying it, you have a shaychus to understand to being a... you're allowed to say it. He said if we only could say what we're holding, we would never speak. That was his language. That's his anivus. But that's the answer. Chaybos HaBavos says a person has to reach the Madrega B'tochen that he doesn't worry about the next day. It's a very high Madrega. It's extremely high. You can't fool the Rabbi Shlomo. It has to be real. You think the Rabbi Shlomo won't take care of the kids? But that's what you're saying. You have to worry about the kids because they're having a hard time. But the Rabbi Shlomo is there for them. Same Rabbi Shlomo was there for you. Again, I'm not holding there. I'm just trying to explain that Madrega.
Have a little bit more, it makes it easier to live your life.
Okay, so that's a different story now. Now you're saying a different thing, but that doesn't mean to leave over. Fine. So instead of living in a, I'm asking to you, I say this all the time, I can't live in a one-bedroom apartment in Yerushalayim. It won't work for me. I need a little more for me to serve the Rabbi Shlomo. I need it. So that's not to put away for my kids. That's for me. I need that to serve the Rabbi Nishab. That becomes my need. He'll provide it for me today, and he'll provide it for me tomorrow. And he'll provide it for me the next day, what I need to serve him. Now, the higher the Madrega, the less you'll need. But if you need it, you need it. Forget about me. I'm not going, I'm still here. I mean, this rumor that I'm moving is a ridiculous rumor. It's not true. But the, again, that's not what, I'm not holding him that Madrega. I feel stupid saying this, because I'm not holding him that Madrega. But Reish Lakish was. Why should he worry about his kids? The same banker who takes care of him takes care of his kids.
That would be the case that nobody would open up this.
Why not? I have to make a living. You know, I hate to say this, Rabbi Shem. How advised that should be on the Sayyid. That everybody's in that Madrega, and nobody's doing anything, just trusting your body stuff. Mashiach will be here, and there will be any problems in the world. If every year from year lived in that Madrega, you know what? Mashiach would be here in a second.
Both of us are speaking about every single person. I don't have
to. Yes! Again. You can't fool the Rabbi Nishlam. You can't wake up today and say, okay, now on, I am not going to worry. But you're a liar. I mean, not you, me. You'd be a liar. I'd be a liar. I am worried. I am worried how I'm going to pay my rent next month.
I assume Shlomo HaMelech was planning for the future.
Why are you saying that?
Keep the kingdom going.
It's his job is to keep his kingdom going for the Rabbi Nishlam. Whose Rabbi Nishlam wants the kingdom going. Not, his job is not to provide for his kids. The Rabbi Nishlam will provide for him, will provide for his kid. Now, Shlomo HaMelech was Shlomo HaMelech. Not all kings were Shlomo HaMelech. This is the, again, is there a Rabbi Nishlam? Does he take care of people?
Yes.
So he needs help?
I don't know. Because
the Rabbi Nishlam needs help?
The Avos all work.
To earn a living. There's nothing wrong.
They were
not for their kids. For whatever reason they felt they had to be Ashirim, they could be Mashbi on others, they could do things. Not because they were leaving for their kids. That wasn't their goal.
They ended up giving to their kids.
I don't know. Did Yaakov leave for his kids?
From leave for Yisrael? In other words,
he gave
leave with Eliezer.
No, okay, again, because he wanted to, whatever he was accomplishing with his wealth, he wanted Yitzchak to continue.
Right.
But again, I hear you, Akasha, but again, if you believe in the Rabbi Nishlalem, and you believe he provides you with what you need.
I understand it, but in fact, Kelly, when I looked up on Mina, he said, who should I leave my everything to? I only have Eliezer.
He wanted kids. There's nothing wrong, he wanted children. I'm not. I want anybody to misunderstand me. I am not holding that Madrega, but we have to recognize that there is such a Madrega. Subcommissioner, it's not only in storybooks; it's in the Gemara. What's wrong with the Shluck is being in a Madrega that the younger man in Yerushalayim that you read about in the Atad, that he had this happen to him, he needed $1,000 and he got the $1,000, Rabbi Nishim sent it to him. It's wonderful. That's happened to a Shluck every day.
Yeah, I remember, I don't think this is the Gemara, but when someone died, they left a bowl of noodles and they said, I worked too hard in my life.
This is it, right?
This is it.
Not noodles, it's saffron.
I remember the noodles or something. I'm wrong.
Don't say that.
Don't
say that. It makes you feel bad. Don't think
you're
wrong.
Okay. He'll give you a message later. Yes.
I remember it went at the same time that someone, I don't know, you already corrected me. I thought someone had to leave something in the Yerusha. So he said not to.
We did learn that if a guy has wealth, he shouldn't give it all away. If he has, he should leave it to his kids. We didn't say he had to have. Dr. Mishnah Weiter.
Why should we leave it to his kids then? As opposed to just giving everything to Hekdesh.
Interesting question. Why don't we talk? I don't know, but we say not allowed to give everything away to Tzedakah when he dies. He can give away half. The Gemara says in Ksubos he can give away half his money to Tzedakah when he dies. Not more than half. So you're asking, why is he worried about his kid? Why should the Torah want him to leave his stuff to his kids? The Torah doesn't say he has to get stuff. Again, if he has, he should leave it to his kids. I don't know. Good question. I don't know. I don't know.
Wait, if you're giving
tzedakah
or
helping
somebody,
you're supposed to
take your family first.
It doesn't say if his kids are poor. His kids might be rich, and still don't take away. The Torah doesn't like people that don't leave you. Meaning, if a guy has money, the Torah says giving it away to somebody else is taking away Yerusha. The Torah doesn't want that. It's also to be maver achsante. You're not allowed to give away your money to somebody else. You're supposed to leave Yerusha from the money you have. It doesn't say make money to leave over.
That's it.
I tell my kids I'm leaving them a lot of debt. And my set of Masifta Gemaras. That's my wealth.
That's
where the
fight starts.
What?
That's where the fight starts.
First they should take care of the debt, then they'll debt. First they should take care of my debt, then they can worry about
it. Who said Asante? I thought Asante meant someone else.
Now Asante means Yerusha. That's what the word means.
I know, but I'm saying, but maybe it means
it's also to give away your money to other people and leave your kids high and dry.
Now, Vashma from that, but if I want to give it to the Kolel.
So the Gemara in Subba says up to half. The Gemara in Subba. Lav Chazern.
So much on my head. I know. I'm going to dance for someone now. I'm going to dance for someone now. It's
very nice.
Trying to finish the safer.
Beautiful. The safer.
Safer. He's upset at me.
He's very upset at you. He should be upset at you. I was at the Chasana, and Dove Trapper comes over to me and says, did you see what Avram put out? 10 years ago he put it out. He never saw it before.
I didn't want to make him.
That's the Mishnah Vayter. Hamaycher, Baruch Maycher, are you on the phone?
No. I am, yes.
Test is ready. I gave it to Avram. He's going to send it to you, but please don't put it out till tomorrow.
Okay.
A maker today alive in Gehavim. Somebody sells a field to a guy, which you're not allowed to do. Sell a field there to sell to a guy. You're not supposed to do it, but he did it. Lekeach umevi mimenu bikurim metikinoila. Really? As the Gemara is going to explain. This is going to be a Gemara. There's going to be two explanations in this Gemara. So we'll see it in the Gemara. But you're obligated to bring Bikurim from that fruit. So you have to go buy fruit from the guy you sold it to so you can bring Bikurim. But nay, Tikkun Olam. What that means, we'll have to see in the Gemara. Rashi. Hachi gasin lekeach maybe Bikurim b'chol shana. Tzarech likach menayve gikurim b'kurei pereseha. The first fruits, b'damim yikarim. No matter what he charges you. Why? We don't want you selling land to Goyim. And therefore, we're going to make you buy fruit from Bikurim. The guy in Machar, and if you did it already, we want you to buy it back. And therefore, we put pressure by making you separate Bikurim. Now, notice the Mishnah did not say separate Trumas and Isis. It didn't say, buy a tenth of his crop so you can give Miser. It said, buy Bikurim. Buy what amount to give Bikurim, which is a 60th of his produce. Buy Bikurim. We obligate you to go buy fruit, produce from the guy, and give Bikurim.
Bikurim is the first.
It's called Bikurim because it's the first thing you separate. It doesn't have to be the first. Usually it's the first.
Rabbi.
One second. Ein lam shir. Hapeya ba bikurim. State in the Gemara. Ein lam shir. Midraisa. They made a shir 160th. Yes.
Who's to say that the buyer is going to do that? He could. Is that a condition of the sale, or he can just sell his parish to whoever he wants? He doesn't have to sell it to you.
It's a voluntary thing.
It
is your obligation to outbid anybody for that produce.
He hates your guts.
He can't do anything about it. You have to do everything in your power to get a hold of that produce to bring Bikurim. The assumption is that if you offer him enough money, he'll sell it to you.
Okay.
That's why Rashi says, but dumb him yikarim. He doesn't want to sell it, double the price. Triple the price. Everybody has his price, you know what I mean? You hate a guy, but for money, you don't hate him as much.
First fruit did it for a bit, then how do you know 6 years of what?
Of whatever grows in the field that year.
But you just bought it now. You don't know what's going to grow in the field that year.
Every year, you have to go back to him, buy 6 years of his crop for whatever it costs. Now, I don't know what that locker would be if you don't know how much grew. I don't know. You estimate. This is what looks like grew in his field. I have to buy 6 years of that and bring it for Bikurim, because I sold it to him. I had no right to sell him the field. And we want you to buy it back. And after a while, you're going to say to yourself, this is too expensive. I'm going to offer him money to buy the field back. That's the idea of this.
The first one was like an apple, or what are your first, you know, the first
it's only from Zayaminim.
Fine. Olive.
So you go and buy 6 years of his olives.
If you're buying the first
of them. Again, it's not Ma'akov. The first is not Ma'akov.
A farmer who has a Frum's farmer, he doesn't mark the trees first or
the minig was to do it. The halakha says to do it, but it's not Ma'akov.
It's huge.
The guy has
1,000 feet. Like,
you see, you sold it to him. You know, we're talking to a guy who did something wrong. Let's not have too much Rachmana to the guy. He was Ivory Nister. Like Schoenheim, you're not allowed to sell them field in Eretz Yisrael.
Even if he needed it?
You're not allowed to sell them a field in Eretz Yisrael.
What happens if he needed it?
We needed it.
The money.
So you can eat chazer because you need it?
No, what I'm saying is that...
It's a love. It's the same as eating chazer.
You know, what I'm saying is that I'm getting a very, very good deal.
What was about a deal?
I don't understand. It's an Isra love. When do you start being matra lav? For how much money? How much money are we going to sell lav for today? You know, Target has a sale, not Target. Walmart has a sale on meat. Purdue chickens. Big sale. You can save a lot of money. I have no idea if they do or not. I don't even know if Purdue chickens exist anymore. The only brand I remember is Traeger brand. That's why I said Purdue chicken. They have a big sale on it. You can save a lot of money. You know what chicken costs, kosher chicken costs these days? Cost a fortune. So you go buy this Traeger chicken, you save a lot of money. It's a good deal. It's called a lav.
It's
brought. It's not, you give a 60th and you don't have to give from the first one. I'm out. It's the first thing you give. It's the first thing you separate. You're not allowed to separate anything else till you separate Bikurim. Now, the guy is not separating anything. You're mechuyev to buy to separate Bikurim. Dr. Gemarvait, I'm a rabbi. Ava bishayin king in life and come back to Sorel Afkimidei Meiser. Now, our mission is going to be shver on Rabbah, and the Gemara is going to ask it later on. But Rabbah says, you should know, when a guy buys a field in Eretz Yisrael, the field's still chayiv in Trumas HaMaisris. Now, that doesn't mean the guy is going to give it. It means that if you buy that produce, remember, you're going to have to give Trumas HaMaisris.
Right.
This is produce that's chayiv in Trumas HaMaisris. Lavkiyah Medei Maisris, Shenem Rakili Haaretz, Li Kedushas Haaretz. The land is the Rabbeinu Shlom, meaning the holiness of the land is not removed by a guy buying it. But he's legally allowed to ruin his field. Even though ruining a field in Eretz Yisrael is not recommended, you want Eretz Yisrael to flourish, this guy is buying the field and he starts ruining it. It's his right. He bought it. Shenemar, Shemayim, Shemayim, Lashem, Baretz, Lasmun, Neyaza. He owns it. He doesn't own to take off Kedusha, but he owns the land. Owners can do whatever they want. They can ruin things. Rashi, She'en Kinyan, Im Kanoi, Bekechob, Mkar, Kabaretz. Ein kinyan rekonu lavkiyam a kedusha asa. His kinyan does not remove the kedusha.
It's not his lamb. Why is
it
his obligation?
Shloit is chayev b'meiser. Yisrael, what are you asking me?
Why is it his obligation? It's not his field anymore. So why is it?
Why?
It's not
fair
on the Mishnah.
Hold a second. We'll worry about why it's fair and not fair when we get there. So let's not talk about that now. The bottom line is, the field chayev b'trumas and meisers. The guy is not. A guy doesn't have to have b'trumas and meisers. So the produce is, the guy is not. If a yid buys it, he has to understand it comes along with a chi of Trumas and Meisras.
Well, that's obvious.
If it's a guy's field.
Did you say if a Jew bought it?
Bought the produce. What store are we going to pick today? You go to Aldi's, and you buy Aldi's and Eretz Yisrael. And you buy stuff that an Arab grew in the West Bank. According to Rabbi, you have to separate Trumas and Meisras. Rashi Vayter, Divnei Adam, L'chol Tzurcheihem. They can do whatever they want. They want to ruin it? Zuntei. Rabbi Lazar Eimer, Ava Bishi Ashkin Yalav Yikachav Meretz Yisrael Lav Kiyem Yidei Meisr. He disagrees. He says when a guy buys a land in Eretz Yisrael, it does take off the chiyuv of miser. She never degancha. It has to be your grain. V'loy daganai v'kachavim. V'safta deganecha. What grows in your field, not when it grows into a field of goyim. Ava ein kinyalei v'kachavim Eretz Yisrael lachmah b'beis yichun amaris. But its ownership is limited in the land. He takes off the kedusha. Not chayav in trumas and meisras, but he can't dig it up and ruin it. And if he does, the seller can go and say mekhtos. That's not what comes along with a sale in Eretz Yisrael. You have no right to ruin the land in Eretz Yisrael. Shemar, Hashem Aretz. Shem has the land. He wants the land preserved. He doesn't want it ruined. And therefore, if a guy ruins it, it invalidates the sale. And yet can't ruin it either.
Because of the Korim?
No, because Hashem Aretz. Because the Torah says Hashem Aretz. Some people bring a pot to Kili Aretz. No, same thing.
Are you allowed to sell a goy land there to put up a shopping center?
No.
Because he's not allowed to own the land?
Lo Tichanim is alive in the Torah for selling them land in Eretz Yisrael.
Lo Tichanim?
Lo Tichanim. Lo Tichanim Chaniya
B'Karka. Nothing to do with produce would be correct.
No. Now, there are Torahs. If it's dangerous, you live in an Arab neighborhood, you gotta get out. Again, I'm not passing a local advisor. It's not a possibility. We might, but I'm not gonna go through why and when. Remember to Shiloh, what happens now after the Churban? Different. They were talking about during the time of the Beis Hamikdash. Does Eretz Yisrael still have Kedusha? Does it not have Kedusha? It's a very complicated sugya. It's not for here and now. Rashi? No Rashi. But I can't believe it. What is the machlok is based on? My servant the gancha v'loy daganai v'kachavim. One holds the Torah said it's not the gancha, it's the ganecha. The Torah said the ganecha, not if it's owned by a guy. Well, my servant the guncha v'loy daganai v'kachavim. And one says the Torah means to say you have to be the one to process it. Meaning if a guy buys grain from a Jew and he's the one that processes it, does the miruach, smooths it out, threshes it, does the processing to finish the grain, you're putter from Maestros. Because the Torah said it has to be something processed by a Jew, not processed by a guy. Rashi, if it's owned by a guy. Rashi, the gun chavaloi digin shaloi v'kachavim, shemirchem oi v'kachavim v'en shaloi v'shas miruach. It's not where it grew. It who belongs to when
completed.
Shugmar malachtim lemaiser miruach ha'ev dekachavim paitra. The afila lokham yisrael b'shibulin. He went and bought the produce from a yid before it was processed. It was harvested. The guy came and bought it. And then the guy went and threshed it and processed it. The locha is it's Pater. Ava Megdilu Bekar Kaev is Gechavim, the Lachin Yisrael Beshibulu in Amerikan. But if he bought it, it grew in a Yid land. It grew in a Guy's land. And a Yid bought it before it was processed, and he's the one that processed it. Chayavim Bemeiser. The Karkar Yisrael Be'arev Gechavim, Lo Yehuv Kedushasa. So we have a Machloikus Rab and Rab Lazar, exact opposites. Rabbi says a guy's land is not chayav in Trumas and Maizras, but a guy can dig up his land. Rab Lazar says a guy's land is chayav in Trumas and Maizras, but he can't dig up his land. Now, Rab Lazar adds, depends who processes it. It doesn't make a difference where it grew. Who owns it at the time that it's processed? The guy or he? If a guy owns it at the time of process, then it's butter. If a yid owns it at that time, it's chai. No matter whether it grew in a field of a yid or a field of a guy. That's Rav Elazar Shita. This is the way Rashi explains it. Other Rishonim learn differently. We're learning Rashi.
When it's piled, it's filled with already stuff that's piled and processed.
Then it's chai. No, according to Rav Elazar, whoever owns it at the time of process is chayev. It makes the decision whether it's chayev or not. The field's chayev and meiser. If a yid processes it.
In other words, he sold the land plus he sold the produce.
You sold the land to a guy.
Yeah, who's processing it?
You know, he's not. The thing's growing. You buy it from him before it's processed.
Oh, I see. That's the time that you have you're chayv to buy it back from the.
You're not chayv to buy it back.
The produce.
No.
Yeah. You can give bikurim.
No. That's not what the mission. These amaroim have mentioned bikurim at all. There was no mention of bikurim in these amaroim. Rabbi says if a guy owns land in Eretz Yisrael, you're chayv in Trumas and Maizras. So he says, and therefore, any yid that buys this produce is chayav to separate from his maizras. He doesn't have to buy the produce.
Yeah,
Rabbi Elazar says, if you buy the produce, you're not chayav in Trumas and Maizras if you buy it processed. And it doesn't make a difference where it grew. Who owned it at the time of processing? A guy, it's pater. Yid, it's chayav. Registration tomorrow. I'm on the phone, and we will continue registration tomorrow.
Does anybody want to sponsor the test? Need a sponsor.